Lechem, Ruchem Abayim. We've had a week off. Even Moshe Rabbeinu had to be misbayed in between the parshas. And we're going to begin now, really in a certain sense, the second chalek of the Asala Klalim. Last week I gave an introduction to it, a panorama of Western philosophy. And we're going to actually take some of the abstract ideas and concepts which I alluded to last week, and we'll actually show how they actually fit into the Gaon himself. In any case, I'm going to begin with, of course, Klal Vav, which is on Daf Kuf Lamed Vav in the Asara Klalot, Klal Vav, and it's line 188. Okay, so this is what it looks like. And let us begin. I'm just going to read now and translate the Gaon, and then after that we're going to go to the Arizal. I trust that the Eitz Chaim, which was scanned and sent out, should be available to everybody. I hope you have it. If you don't have it, then it will consist of Teresh B'al Peh until you get it. You may just have another day or so. Okay, Klal Vav, Vazayin Elo, these seven midas, these seven spheres we're speaking about are Chesed, Gevura, Tef'eres, Netzach, Hoyt, Yusayit, and the Gaon actually says Zayin spheres, so it's also including Malchus too. Hazayin Edel, these six midas, Shimshu, the Zayin Yimei Bereishis, they were involved in the creation of the world, in the direction of the world, during the 7 days of creation. So you have the Zayin midas, the Zayin Tachtonis, which are the seven spheres of Chagat Nahayam, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, Netzachot, Yesod, and Malchus. And these were active during the 7 days of Maaseh Bereishis. Vein Zayin Tachtonis Da'atik Yoimin. Okay, now the Gaon is using the Lashon of Pautzuf, meaning that the first Pautzuf is considered to be Atik. You remember that the Gaon used the term Atik at the very end of Klal Aleph, and there the Gaon said that the first Tzimtzum is called Atik. There, Atik referred to the act of Tzimtzum. Here, the word Atik is actually referring to the first world. The term Atik, Yoimin, is actually as follows. We know that there are 10 spheres, and from some of the spheres we make what's called Patsuf. The difference between a sphere and a Patsuf we will elaborate in Mirza Shem in a few weeks. But suffice it to know that from a sphere comes a Patsuf. A Patsuf is somehow a much more complicated version and a human, a more humanistic expression of the Kabbalistic sphere. Corresponding to the sphere of Keser, you have actually what's called Atik Yoimin. Actually, Keser actually divides into two Patsufim, Atik Yoimin and Arich Yoimin. But the Gaon there was referring to the highest Patsuf, which is Atik Yoimin. Okay, so each Patsuf is a world unto itself, it's a person unto itself. This represents Deus Persona, the personal God. And therefore, because of this, the first Patsuf of Atik Yoimin is in fact, has 10 spheres all to its own. The seven lower spheres of Atik Yoimin, these are in fact the Zayin Tachtoinim, which the Gaon is telling us are Ches Gevurah Tiferes, Netzachot Yesod, and Malchus. And goes on the Gaon, on line 189, Kloima, that is to say, basically, every day is connected a different mida, a different sphere. The Gaon just says that the seven lower spheres of Atik correspond to the 7 days of Bereishis. He doesn't go into detail. Now, Atik Yoimin, as we said before, has 10 spheres unto itself. The seven lower spheres are Chagat Nahayam. But there are three higher spheres of Atik. And these are called the Gimel Reishin, the Gimel Rishonis. Says the Gaon on line 190, we're in Daf Kuf Lamed Vav in the sixth cloud. V'Gimel Rishonis Da'atik, right? The first three spheres of Atik, which is usually Chochma Bina V'Das, sometimes it's called Kesel Chochma in Bina. Hein Gimel Oiles, These are three lights. Now, when the Goyim says three lights, of course, everything is light. Light is really a metaphor for spirituality, but here it refers to the aura of Ma'aseh Bereishis. Okay? As we saw previously, that in fact it says or three times in the Chumash, Vayi Or, Vayi Or, Vayi Or. And says the Goyim, Aleph, the first, is Or HaRishon, HaKlolis and Hispashet Techila. That's the first illumination. We've been speaking many times about the concept called Hispashtus, right? We're going to go speak in very detail and in depth about Hispashtus. The first illumination, the first light, is called a expansion, Hispashtus. So the first light, which corresponds to the Vayihi Or, Yihi Or in the Chumash, that's the first Hispashtus, the first illumination, the first expansion of light. Vasheni, then there's a second, Shenignas Techev. There's a second type of Or, which is hidden away immediately, beside Vayihi Or. That's Vayihi Or. So Kosh Paul says, Yihi Or, that's expansion. Vayihi Or represents the Or HaGonos, the Or that is hidden away. Now how is this Or hidden away? Melame Shenignas Yud. Vayihi means Nignas, Yud was Nignas. Or is Yud was Nignas. Yud refers to something which is hidden away. Fusaydi Stalkus. So we have Hispashtus, Yihi Or, that's expansion. Histalkos is contraction, and this contraction produces the Or HaGadol, the hidden light, which is hidden away, and there's a remez, allusion to that in the Yod, Fusayla Histalkos. Okay? Expansion and contraction. Says the Goyim, these two subs of light, Vishnei Oiles Penimi Umakif. These, in fact, two types of movements of expansion and contraction. Actually, create two types of lights. There's Or Panimi, an internal light, and Makav means a surrounding light. But Kol Bochel says once again, Yihi Or, expansion, Vayihi Or, contraction, Or HaGonos, Vayal Kimesa Or Kitoiv, which Or was Toiv? That was the Or Panimi, that was Toiv. Soida Or, Shemishtaya Bakli. Right? Even though Rashi learns Punfakir to the Chumash, Rashi learns for Elohim is Oki Toiv Ziyaragonos, but here the Goyim is saying no, that the Elohim is Oki Toiv refers to the Or Panimi that did not go back, was not Mistalik, but remained within the Kli of Bria, within the vessel of Bria, of creation. Soida Or Mishtaya Bakli. This is the light that remains in the Kli, beside Panimi, and this Or is what's called the Or Panimi. Vuhu HaRishimai. This is the Rishimai. So we have actually Hispashtus, right? Yihi Or, expansion. Vayihi Or, contraction. Or HaGadol. Vayelokim es Ha'or Kitoiv. The Or that remained after the Stalkus, the Rishima, the impression of Or, that remained in the Kli, that's called the Or Pnimi that remains in the Kli, that's the Rishima. Now what's the Makif? The Makif is the Or HaGadol. V'makif Or HaShagadol. Sheniknas, the Makim is the Or that was Mistalik and that was hidden away. Now, why was it hidden away? How come it's not in the Kli? How come it doesn't say V'yalei Mishor Kitov is speaking about the Or Makim, the Or Gonos? V'loi Yochol Likonois V'hakli V'nistalik. This Or, HaGonos, was unable to enter into the Kli. It was Mistalik, it contracted and went back. V'nim, so says the Goyin, Ha'or HaPnimi Nimshach V'ni Yispashtos. The Or HaPnimi comes from Hispashtus. It comes from expansion. V'hamakif, the Or HaMakif, right? Nimshech Nistalkos, the Or HaMakif, which is the surrounding Or. It's actually going to be a greater Or. The Or HaGadol hidden way, that comes as a result of Hispashtus of contraction. U'mizah Hispashtus is havu mokum zetchila, but because of the Hispashtus, there's a possibility of a mokum, of a place. In other words, if Or is in there, then no one can get in there. It's filled with Or, like Moshe Rabbeinu could not come into Oil Moed, because the Or was there. The Or is Mistalek. That allows there to be Mokum, that allows there to be a world. That allows there to be a Kli, the Makabel, the Rishimoi, which is the Or HaPnimi that is remained over from the Or, the Mistalek, and that's part of the Or HaPnimi. Now goes on the guide and says, Uvekli yesh pnimis b'chitzainis. There's two parts of the kli, says the guide. This has nothing to do with life, two parts of the kli. Once again, what is the kli? The kli is the receptacle, that which is the kabbal or. The kli is going to be a metaphor, a dogma for the world. It's going to be the world. And there's two parts of the kli, says the guide. There's the pnimis and the chitzainis of the kli. Right? Kleimar. Sheesh. Now, pnimis, see, now, by or, pnimis was the lower type of or, the rishimai. And or hamakiv was the higher form of or, which is hidden away. But by kli, the actual terms are actually a little bit different. Pnimis here is going to be the more spiritual, and chitzainis is going to be the more external, the more physical. Kleimar, says the guy. What do we mean by pnimis and chitzainis of the kli? Kleimar. Sheesh chesed v'toiv la pnimis. This chesed and toiv that are shy to the panimius of the kli. And says the goyim said, have the shaman v'ilam haba. The panimius of the kli is part of the shaman v'ilam haba, the part of man which connects him to the spiritual aspects of existence. V'chesed v'toiv, l'nyoni ha'guf v'ilam hazeh, she'ein ha'chitzoidis. But this chitzoidis of the kli, that has to do with the physical part of man, that's guf v'ilam hazeh. So already the kli introduces the concept of physicality, and that's called the chitzoidis of the kli. So says the guy, and from the toivas of oilam hazeh, in other words, the things that are good in this world, nimshach, come the midas v'yetzahara, comes man's toivas, his yetzahara, his midas, I'm referring to his bad midas, humachmashu mesulach mi'ar yistalkas. Why does man have bad midas in this world? Because he's removed from the or that was bestalik. He's not in contact with the or ha'goddess that was bestalik. He's left just with the Rishima, which is opening because of the Kli. By being in the Kli, there's a Chitzonis of the Kli, and that's man's connection with the physical world. Achbachba shuba me'or makiv, shu'or gadol, me'or panimi. Hu gadol ma'oi, shu'or yochol ha'kli l'saiv l'stalek, o'meyo mis'beitzis n'rachak ba'oid. Okay? So in other words, the or in the Kli comes from an or makiv. It's an istalkus, right? From an or makiv. That's an or gadol mi'ayit, right? The makiv is greater than the or panimi. Shlo yochol ha'kli l'saiv le. How come the or makiv is makiv the kli, surrounds the kli? How come the or makiv doesn't go into the kli? It's too big for the kli. The kli cannot contain the or makiv. When the stalek, and therefore the or makiv jumps out of the kli, contracts immediately, goes back to where it was. But it doesn't stay there hibernating. The or ha'gonus, the or that installed, the or makif, illuminates from far away. It twinkles from far away. Because of that, there's a good that comes even after the or ha'makif is mistalik. Because Bogus Botzer now is also contracted. Because Bogus Botzer is not imminent in the world. Because of this man has to be machni himself, he has to break his yitzahara. Because he koifes yitzchoy, when he subjugates his will, meaning his bad will, and he subjugates it. That's how he's mekayim with the Mekadosh Baruch Hu. Gamizah ha'eder v'oizir etzoynoi. And because of this, even in this vacuum, he does the rotzen of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Even though Kodesh Baruch Hu's rotzen is not in the world, like we've spoken about, Kodesh Baruch Hu's betzamtzen is rotzen. So what he does is he connects with the rotzen, which is hidden away in the Or HaMakiv. Because of that, when a man does the Or, does the rotzen of Kodesh Baruch Hu, he connects with the original rotzen of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the Mekoyah HaRishon, that's the Or that was bestalik. That remains godless, hidden away. When you Baal Tshuva, he's called the Baal Tshuva. Shemeshim Aveda Sha'ovar Atzadet Tzadika Shaloyla. Because there was something lost. Kodesh Baruch Hu lost something, and the Tzadika, the original, the Pintala Yid, the Tzadika, the person who was supposed to have been a priori, he lost this Or HaGonus, this desire to go Kodesh Baruch Hu's Rotzad, he recovers it. Kodesh Baruch Hu take away his Rotzad, so many of the Baal Bechira, we've repeated this many times. It's a very, very important theme in the Goy, because Baruch Hu contracts his will for the world to allow the grand man, Bechira, free will. Ben can all be about Bechira because Baruch hides his will. And therefore men is given the opportunity to go after the good of this world, the physical world. Which is moved from Baruch's Rotzoi. For Kofes Yitzchoi, but if man bends, he contains his Yitzchahara, Ubachaboy, he chooses God's Rotzoi, who most parah, and he rejects evil. Dovashu negative side is boss, and he can end the Kosh Boros Rotzoi. Umeshiva or Hamakiv a Godel Hashab. So therefore he returns, or he brings back the Or Makiv that was hidden away because of God's contraction of his Rotzoi. Was that Tovin said for Mokim Shabbat Shuvah Oimdin? This is what the guide says, what Chazal say, Mokim Shabbat Shuvah Oimdin. Even Tzadik Gemurim, because the Baal Shuvah stands as the Or Makif, which is something that even Tzadikim can't stand, because it's something that never was able to enter the world in the first place. The third light, we're going to say, Peter Shugar has a question. What's the third light? So basically, the third light we're going to see in the guide is probably what's called the Or Panimi in the Kli. In other words, is the Or when it's originally mispashet, the first expansion, and then the Or which is mistalik, that's the Or HaGonus, that's the second light. The Rishimu is going to be the third light. Even the Rishimu comes from this pashtus, since we distinguish the movement of this pashtus expansion from Rishima, which is an impression, calling that the third light. Fahavin Ma'oit. Okay, now. So, the Goyim has set up a very, very interesting scenario. And by the way, we now come to Musa, the Yetzer Hara, the physical world. Up to now, we've been very, very intellectual. We're speaking about Torah, about science, the Rishima. All of a sudden, there's the Yetzer Hara, this physicality. Man has to contend with the physical world. Now, in order to understand what the Goyim is trying to communicate, it's been our derech from all of the shiurim to understand the Goyim in light of the first Rebbe, who's the Arizal. I think it's very, very important that we understand and learn very, very good, up-learned, the Eitz Chaim and Dov Chav Zayin. Rabbi Sedley has told me, to give him Milsa, so he certainly believed, that in fact, he has scanned the Eitz Chaim, and Dab Chav Zayin. Now my Eitz Chaim is Chav Zayin, Amud Aleph, it means the first column. And there, in the Eitz Chaim, the Goyim is going to speak also about three types of lights. Now, let me, where is it in Chav Zayin? Okay, fine. Very, very good. So therefore, we're going to have to send this out. It seems like the wrong Gaddaf was scanned.
I think something like that.
What? But if you could think about what the Rei spoke about afterwards, then you'll be following me. But I'm going to read the Ari very, very slowly so that everybody understands. Even the Vav Shem Pei. Mir Tashem, after the Shir, Rabbi Sedley's going to send it out so everybody can chaz in the Shir with the Arizal inside the Yitz Chayim. Now, once again, the source of the words of the Goyim are in the Arizal and the Eitz Chaim in what's called a Shar Akudim. Let us go back over again. We have spoken about Akudim previously in the Shurim, but it's worth it that we go over them again and that we speak about what is Akudim in the Arizal. We're speaking about the creation of a Kli. The purpose of Akudim is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu illuminates the world but creates a Kli. And a Kli is a receptacle which can contain Kodesh Baruch Hu's infinite divine light. So an Akudim is the first time in which this is what's called a creation of a Kli. Now the Akudim of the Arizal, of course, is there is no physical world. In fact, a few weeks ago, we discussed the fact that the Akudim of the Goyim is much different than the Akudim of the Ari. The Akudim of the Ari is primarily, right, in Atzilus, the Akudim of the Goyim interfaces with the physical world. This will become very significant in the Mitzvah Shem in a little while. The Akudim is the Abshar of the Yetz Chaim, where the Ari describes in detail the formation of the first Kli. A kli is important because without a kli, there is a mechanism by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu can relate to his creation. Now, the Ari says the following thing, Andaf Chavzayim, in Shah HaKudim. Right? Once again, Akudim, Nekudim, and Ferudim, this comes from the Pasuk in Parshas Vayetze, that Yankov Avinu, right? Right, has a dream, has a nevuah, in which he speaks about the sheep coming out the kudim, vudim, and brudim, and the Ari understands that there's a remez used that pasuk as the basis of actually the hishtalshulus of the declension of worlds. The first world is going to become akudim. Akud comes from the word akedat tzitzchak, means to bind, because the purpose of the olam akudim is to make a kli. Then it's going to become the kudim, which is going to make a much more complicated kli. That's going to result in the arizal, in the shvira, the breaking of the vessels. And then the world achieves its tikkun. We pace back the world. That's going to be called verudim. Okay? Akudim, nekudim, uverudim. Now, in Shah Akudim, the Ari describes how did a Kadosh Baruch Hu make a kli? When a Kadosh Baruch Hu illuminates, how does the kli come about? The Ari describes a very complicated process by which a Kadosh Baruch Hu creates a kli. Now, the Ari speaks about three types of light. And I'm reading now from the Eitz Chaim. My version of the Eitz Chaim is Chavzayin Amud Beis. And in my Sedli's version of the Eitz Chaim, it says, Nimtz Yishkan Gimel Minei Oilas.
Chavzayin Amud Aleph.
What?
Amud Aleph.
Oh, Chavzayin Amud Aleph. So Chavzayin Amud Aleph. At the very end of the first column, says the Ari like this. Nimtza. It comes out, says the Ari. He summarizes, because up to now the Ari spoke about his Pashtus and his Talkus. Says the Ari, Nimtza, Shiyesh Kan Gimel Minei Oilas. There are three types of light. Just like the Goyim said, there are three types of light. Aleph, Ha'or HaRishon, the first type of light, Shebekula, Vehu Nikra Akudim. And that's always called Akudim. And this Akudim is actually the or which comes as Hispashtus, as expansion, Kanal, as we explained above. So the first type of light is called the Or of Akudim, which is the first Hispashtus, the first expansion. Beis, the second type of light, Hu HaRishimai, that's the impression. Shenishim Yizahor Shebaderach Yoshe. In other words, the Or of Akudim comes, is called a straight light. It comes Derech Yoshe. What's left from the light, right, when it comes back, that's called Rishimai. Vehu Rachavim. This is called actually the second type of light. Gimel or Abai Love Derech Elias Asfilas. The third or comes as follows. It comes Derech Elias Asfilas. Shazu Derech Raim Shudin. Okay, so like this. Now, what's going to follow with it like this? According to Arizal, the Sfilas come out. That's his Pashtus. That is what's called a Histalkus. The Sfilas go back up. As the spheres go back up, they illuminate. But the illumination is what's called Derech Acharayim. Because when they go out Derech Yoshe, they go out facing wherever they're going out to. Then they turn around, about face, they face upwards, they go back to the Makor. But there's an illumination from their backsides. Derech Acharayim. And that's called Or Chayzel. And that Or is the light that comes as a result of Histalkus. So we don't have an Or HaGadlus here. We have Hispashtus. We have a Rishimai. And then we have an Or that shines Derech HaHistalkus. As the Sfilas are going back up, they turn their back. A light shines, illuminates through the backside, Derech HaCharayim. And says the Goyim that this light, this third type of light, which is the light of Histalkus, this is Din. Now, this light which is Din, which is the light of Histalkus, the light that comes from contraction, that's Din. But the Nishima, if Ubava or Agimel, Shu Din. When this din comes, it hits. What does it hit?
and hits the Rishimai. Pegeya ba'or ha-Rishimai. So once again, the light that's illuminated in the process of contraction hits the Rishimai, which is the impression. That's the second type of light. Hanisha, which remained after the aura was bispashet, the first type of aura was bispashet. Shehu rachamim. The Rishima is rachamim, because it comes from Or Yosha. The Or, which is, comes, it's called Or HaChoyzeh, the returning light. That's called Din, because it's light that comes while the spheres are returning. V'az makim u'mevachim zeh v'zeh. These two lights hit against each other. V'shum she'em shnei hafochem, because the two lights are opposites of each other. Zeh or yoshev u'rachamim. The Rishima essentially comes from chesed. It's actually called rachamim. V'zeh or choyzeh. And the or that comes down from the process of histalkus is called or choyzeh. V'uden. V'zeh chavis l'alis l'bekoyrei. Or Rishimai. In other words, the Or Chayzer wants to go down, the Rishima wants to go up, they hit each other, and they, what happens is they hit against each other, and then there's going to be sparks coming out, the sparks fall, and says the reason from all of this thing comes the Kli, that creates a Kli. From the hitting, from the zivug, the interaction of these two opposite types of light, din and chesed, actually din and rachamim, from the falling out of that hitting against each other, of that clash of lights, comes the kli. And that's how the kli are made. It says the Ari, I'm on Chav Zayinam with Beis in second column the Ari, which you'll have in front of you. Hari nizboya ech nasu bechilas hakeilim, heilim. The reason I explained to you how I made the keilim. Now, we have a kli. What do we do with the kli? So there's another dot that I hope was sent out. In Lamed, Amud Gimel Amud Dalet. That's in Shah Mati Vlemati. Says the Ari in the second column. Harei bi'anu soydis talkus fe'etas halva kelbe deizeh. We've described, what?
First column.
The first column, the next page, which proper page was sent out, will explain to you how, in fact, the kelim were made. And says the Arizal, but nonetheless, right, there's going to be another ispashtus di stalkus. There's another ispashtus di stalkus. And what happens is, ve'inyanu kashir nishlo mechlis ha'kli hazeh. But as a clear the istalkus or as kashu yafsu all this pasha. Now the or comes back into the kli. Oh look at this pasha, the or by kli is a pa'am sheni enum is pasha kaseda rechen al digla va digla, etc. etc. It tries to go into the kli, but the stalik comes out of the kli. And there's a process, a complicated process, the or tries to come back in, go out, go in, go out. It's a very complicated entire shahr in the Arizal. Okay, now. I want to speak about this because this is very, very important here. Let's go back and summarize what the Ari is saying. The Ari says the following thing. The Ari says, how do we form the Kli? We form the Kli as a consequence of the clash of two types of iris, two types of light, which are the opposites of each other. This is the Rishimai, which is the Or of Rachamim, it's basically Chesed. And then there's the Or Chayzeh, which is the Or of Din. These two lights clash. From this clash, there's a fallout which creates a Kli. That's Hispashtus number one, Histalkus number one, and Rishimai. From this Kli now, Kodesh Baruch Hu's going to bring another ispashtus, and the light's going to go into the kli. It's going to go into the kli, and it's going to come out of the kli. And there's going to be a complicated process by which the light goes in and out of the kli. We try to make 10 kelim. Finally, we're going to come to a stage where the light's going to go into the kli, but the kelim are not going to be strong enough to hold the light. They're going to deconstruct. It's called shviras ha-kelim. The kli are going to burst. shatter into pieces, and the shattered pieces are going to fall into the Olamis, the physical world. The Olamis, the Pirud, Bri Tzilasiya. For the Ari, the whole Ispashtus Histalkus takes place in Akudir, in Atzilus. In Atzilus, what Kodesh Baruch Hu is at one with His creation, giving Yofo, there's no physicality. And the first Kli is formed in Atzilus. The Or tries to settle into the Kli. It's going to be a complicated process that tries to inch itself into the Kli, tries to feel comfortable with the Kli, tries to make 10 Kelim, that each Kli should be perfect for its Or. But this process is doomed to failure. It deconstructs, it destroys, it collapses. And because of this, you get a physical world. Now, I want to focus here a little bit on what the Ari is saying. What are the ideas here that are important? What are the ideas which are important? First of all, what is this Rishimai? The Rishimai is the impression, the Yeshimai is the impression of the state of the world. As we've seen in the Goyim, the Rishimai represents the impression of the world as conceived in the mind of God. That's what the Rishimai is. The first is Pashtus, is the expansion of light. But God has to contract this light in order to make room for a world eventually which will be filled with the creation, which will be able to know its creator. What's left is the Rishimai. And the Goy of the Rishimai has been a very important theme over the last few months, because through the Rishimai, man is able to construe an order and an analytic and rational structure to existence, both in the physical world and in Torah. That's the Rishimai. The Rishimai is the basis. No, Peter Sugarman says is Racham in the first light. No, the first light is really Chesed. The second light, in other words, Rachamim, no, the first light, Peter, is actually the light of Chesed. Rachamim is the Rishimai, that's the second light, but that's the reason that Racham is close to Chesed. The third light, which is the Or Chayzer, that's the light of Din. That's in the Arizal. The going a little bit different, that's in the Arizal. So like this, the Rishimai represents the rational structure that man can perceive in the world. And that's the rational structure, that's the impression that was made after God created the world, to give the world some type of rational structure by which man can understand the world analytically and scientifically, and determine in the same intellectual way. That's Rishimai. Now, Rishimai says that the Arizal is the opposite from what's called Or Chayzer. What is Or Chayzer? Why is Or Chayzer din? What is din about Or Chayzer? First of all, what is din? Din represents the irreducibility of the world. Remember we spoke about Chochmah, Tevunah, and Das in the Goyim? Tevunah is the world was created in a certain way and only in this way. Din represents the irreducibility of the world, the irreducibility of existence. When man looks at objects in the world, they're irreducible. They're different from each other. This irreducibility is din. But what is Rishimai? Rishimai is what man perceives to be the logical structure of the world. When man looks at the world in a logical, rational way, this unites the world. If I look at the camera in front of me, which I'm looking at the entire time of this year, the camera is a camera, is a camera, is irreducible. That's it. On the other hand, now, if I look at the camera as being an assembly of molecules, the camera is essentially scientifically and mathematically conceptually no different than the chair, or than the screen, or the stand that I'm sitting at. Each are molecules. In other words, rational structure in nature is the way by which man essentially perceives what is in common to the world, the supreme unifying being. But on the other hand, though, through this rational, scientific, analytical structure, man negates the being, the irreducible being of the physical world around him. So what happens is through his shemai, there's by necessity a dialectic, an opposite action. But of a word of negating the irreducibility of the world. When I understand the external world rationally, I negate its irreducibility, I negate its din. If I look at the camera and understand it to be ions and molecules and strings, I negate the cameraness of the camera. I negate the irreducibility of the camera as being separate and distinct from any other object in the external world. So what the Ari is saying is, we have here in Din Chesed, or Din Rachem, I should say, a duality and a dichotomy, which is the metaphor of subject and object. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants man to be able to apprehend the rational structure of that which unites all of being, by definition, this is a negation of the irreducible din of the world. So his shemai and his talkus are two movements which take place at the same time and they're in contradistinction to each other. There's a dialectic. There's a shemai which unites the world as a whole, which emphasizes the likeness of objects. And this is a negation of the separateness, of the identity, of the irreducibility of objects. If you think about this, Rabbeisai, I should say Rabbeisai, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, this is Hegel's concept of dialectics, subject and object, nature versus logic. Nature is the thing unto itself, that each object is a separateness, whole, distinct from anything else. Logic is man's conceptual analytical reduction of physical objects to make them the same. So we have, and this is the stira, the dichotomy between chesed and din. Chesed is the reshimoi, the union of being, of all being in the world, which is a negation to the irreducibility of the din of the world. That's reshimoi. And that's Or Chayzer. Now, these two things are dialectical opposites. Subject-object duality. This is Hegel. Where are the subject and object mediated? Says Hegel, they're mediated in something called spirit, in something called mind, where this idea, capital I, in quotation marks, sustains every object as an abstraction and as a concept and idea unto itself. The idea mediates the dichotomy between the subject and the object, between nature and logic. And this is the spirit. This is the Chayyar HaKadosh Baruch Hu at one with the physical world. The duality created by man of subject and object, man's conceptualization of the world, the otherness of the world, these two things are mediated by a Kadosh Baruch Hu kibyochol as the idea fills up the world. What is the idea filling up the world? Rabbeisai, that's the Or that goes into the Kli. Says the Ari that when the two things clash, thesis, antithesis, subject, object, nature, and logic. When these two things clash, din, rachamim, or chayzer, reshimoi, the medium, the mediation, the synthesis, is the idea in the object. And that's the Or that goes into the Kli. So l'chayda, the Shah HaKudim is a symbolic description of the Hegelian syllogism of nature, logic, and spirit. However, what happens? Hey, Engel called his philosophy the end of all of philosophy. When the spirit of whatever spirit it is unfolds and the idea becomes manifest in the physical world, that's the summation of history. History reaches its climax, its perfection. For the Arizal, though, this never happens. For the Arizal, when the ore tries to successfully lodge itself within the clay, then there's a self-destruct, there's a collusion, there's a breaking of the vessels. The Hegelian plan and culmination of world history cannot be in a physical world, it can only be in a Tzilus. Once it tries to lodge itself in the clay breaks. Physicality reminds us that there can never be a successful synthesis as Hegel wanted. Now, what is the Ari's philosophy here? There's a very, very deep thing here, and I want everybody to be with me now, because I know this is difficult, but we have to be with me. Hegel's philosophy, I don't know if I want to say Yemach Shemai. Hegel's philosophy is a quintessential philosophy of Christianity. Hegel's syllogism of nature, logic, an idea in the thing itself, in a certain sense, was patterned and based upon the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Where the Holy Ghost is the Spirit, the Father posits nature, the Son is the locus by which man apprehends the truth, and the synthesis, the mediation between two things, is what's called the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Hegel's philosophy is a Christian philosophy, a philosophy of the Trinity. What is the Arizal saying? The Trinity is something which self-destructs. The Arizal is telling us that Christian ideology and its idealism and its perfect movement towards synthesis is something which cannot exist in actuality and self-destructs and breaks and falls apart, and we end up with the physical world. The Ari is predicting, or the Ari is describing, the self-destruction of the Christian idea. That, Rabbi Isai, is the Shviras HaKelim of the Ari. Judaism says, Hegel, Adkan, until here. The dichotomy always exists. The synthesis is never attainable. It destroys. It self-destructs. We're left with shattered pieces in the physical world. Rabbi Isai, we've seen an incredible thing. The Ari has pioneered all of us in philosophy. Descartes, Kant, Hegel. It's reached the Christian ideal only to fall apart. The Ari, in his Ruach HaKodesh, has shown us the end of the Christian ideal. It destroys. It's a metaphor for the impossibility and invalidity and viability of Christianity. The end of Western philosophy. All of us in philosophy equals Christianity. That's what the Arizal is saying. The Arizal is, in fact, the vision of the end of philosophy, the destruction, the self-destruction of all Western philosophy. That's what the Arizal is. Okay, now, I've told you over the Ari, what about the Goyin? For the Goyin, there's never Hahava Mina, that the light, the full light, can enter into the clay. There's no Havamina. For the light, for the idea to be in the object in and of itself, that's Avodah Zarah, that's idolatry. The most you can have in the world is a Rishivoy. There's no possible mediation of these two things. With the Ari, sees imminence as being a possible solution, Havamina, which the end self-destructs, for the good is not even a Havamina. So first of all, the good understands that, as we've spoken about a few weeks ago, there is no Shvira, there's only separation. It's only disengagement. For the Goyin, instead of a possibility of imminence, for the Goyin, the solution is not the successful entrance of all of light into a clay, but for the Goyin, the idea is the Or HaGonuz, the light, which is the Or HaMakif. Man in the physical world relates to the transcendental Or HaMakif. Where is man's neshama? Where is man's neshama? According to the Ari, we've spoken about this. According to the Ari, man's neshama is within his guf. Because the Or should go into the clay. For the Goyin, man's neshama is not in his guf. Man's neshama is outside of man. We've spoken about this a few weeks ago. Nefesh HaChayim, the Talmud Buvak of the Goyin, here he's following the Goyin all the way, says that Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, the three levels, the three types of Neshamas man has. He brings the famous Moshul in Shah Aleph. When the air is in the Kli, that's Nefesh, is the lowest level. When the air goes into the mouth, that's Ruach. But the Neshama of man is in the lungs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Man's Neshama is always transcendental. Man's Neshama is not within man, not within the Kli. Man's neshama is outside of the kli. Man in the physical world relates to spirituality transcendentally. For the Ari, spirituality is imminent, except that it cannot perfectly fit into the physical world, has to undergo a shvira, but the shvira is imminent. The tikkun of the world takes place within. For the Goyin, the tikkun of the world takes place from without. Man transcends the physical world by connecting with the transcendental and doesn't mend the world from within and reveal the spirituality within the physical world. And that's what the Goyin says. For the Goyin, the Or HaMakif, there's never a Havamina that the Or can go into the clay. The Or HaMakif remains Gonus, remains hidden, misnaitzis birachok. It illuminates from far. Man's relationship with physicality is not to put together the pieces and rebuild the spiritual within the physical world. Man's avoda, man's purpose, is to relate to the transcendental light, which is the Or HaMakif. And through apprehending intellectually the Rishimai, man reconnects to the light, which is Makif, which is outside of the Kli. And through that, man is Chayza B'Tshuva. Man reaches his Tachlis. But to reach his Tachlis, man has to get over the physical hurdle, which the physical world presents to him as a consequence of God's symptoms, contraction of his will. So, for the Ari, the purpose should have been the penetration of spiritual light in all its brilliance within the physical world. Within the Goyin, that never begins. The spiritual light always remains hidden in Godness. Man has to transcend his physicality and reconnect with the Or HaGonuz. And by doing so, he becomes what the Goyin explains about tshuva. That's tshuva. We remember the Nefesh HaChayim from a few weeks ago. How does man do tshuva? He clings on to the malchus, to the keser, the highest part of the world. A bad person on any level, on any spiritual level, is poikim, his rex, the nine lowest spheres. He hangs on to the sphere of Kesa, which transcends. By doing tshuva, man does not discover spirituality within his physical domain. Man is able to transcend from his physical surrounding and reconnect with the transcendental element. That's Litvisha tshuva. Nefesh HaTshuva means you learn a block Gemara. You don't look at yourself and try to correct yourself with Derech HaBosa. So now, what has the Goyim done? What the Goyim has done in Klal Vav is to reinterpret the Ari's Akudim. Instead of looking at the proposed penetration of light into a kli, which would be the culmination of the immanence of the spiritual and physical in this world, and which theory collapses, man has to reassemble this. For the Goyim, the light always remained gonus, hidden away. Man never looked for this world to be the kli for a spirituality. Man always has to look to transcend his physical world, to overcome his physical desires and transcend the spiritual world, so that he connects with the hidden light, the Or HaMakif. So the Goyim Mamish in Klal Vav is taking the Shara Kudim, the Espashtus status of the Ari, and learning Kipshutoi, learning Kishitasa, Kedavkai. That's the Shita of the Goyim. Like I said before, the Kli of the Goyim has Chitzonius and Panimius as physicality. Physicality is what gives man a Yetzahara and therefore creates a matzah, a condition for free will for Bechira. Through man's Bechira, man reconnects to the Or HaGanus, and by so doing, he reconnects himself to the first Or, to Atik, which is the first Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he created the world. This is the Shita of the Goyim. Now, this concept here of the Or HaGanus, the Or HaMakif or HaPanimi, is going to be a very, very important theme which we're going to carry on further in the Asawa Klolim. Beginning in Klal Zayin, the Goyim is going to go to another concept which is called Hashkocha Klolis, Hashkocha Protis. There's a dialectic, we spoke about tonight, dialectic between the subject and object. Hegel understands there's a subject-object dialectic, which is mediated by a spirit which the Ari says self-destructs, that's the end of culmination, end of Christianity. For the Goyim, there isn't a subject-object dialectic. What there is this free will, which is created by the physicality of the world, which is brought about the physicality of the world, and man can transcend to God's thought by intellectually apprehending the Rishima of the world. So interesting enough is, the Goyim doesn't understand a subject-object dialectic. The object really represents the impediment for man to use his free will. When man intellectually reconnects with the transcendental light, then man, it's a question of mind over matter. The Goyim's system is ultimately, we'll speak about it, some Kantian in that sense. Man constructs through the Rishimai the abstract concept of what the world should have been, how God created the world. As he overcomes the physical world, right, which allows him to express his free will and to intellectually apprehend the Kodesh Baruch Hu, his Torah, and the making of the world. That is the Shita of the Goyim. Next week, this subject-object dialectic, which we spoke about this week, will take actually a new level, which is a dialectic between prat and klal, between the wholeness of something and the individual part of something, between looking at something as a whole of itself and looking at something as a prat of a greater whole. Hashkocha protis hashkocha klalis. This is Mirza Shem we will speak about next week as we continue on Daf Kuf Lama Zayin in Klal Zayin. Until then, I want to wish everybody a very lovely week. I want to thank Libby because she did an incredible job and she stuck with us, and because of her great efforts, this broadcast was able to be brought to you. And I want to wish everybody a good tovach, and we'll see you next week. Be well.